Well, thanks for holding, everyone, and welcome to Silicon Image's first quarter 2008 financial results conference call. Please note that today's call and question and answer session are being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the call over to David Allen. Please go ahead, Mr. Allen.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Silicon Image's first quarter 2008 financial results conference call. I'm Dave Allen, Silicon Image's Director of Investor Relations. Joining me today are Steve Tirado, the company's President and CEO, and Hal Covert, our Chief Financial Officer. The agenda for today's call includes a discussion of the first quarter highlights from our CEO and a more in-depth discussion of our financial results in the first quarter and our guidance for Q2 and the balance of the year by our CFO. We will then open the call for your questions. Before I turn the call over to Steve, let me remind the listeners that we will be making forward-looking statements based on our current expectations during the call regarding many aspects of our businesses and the markets in which we operate, including but not limited to forward-looking statements about our future products and timing of new product introductions, design wins, market demand, financial results, and performance. Actual results may differ materially from our forward-looking statements. Moreover, our forward-looking statements and the company's future results are subject to certain risks and uncertainties, which are described in today's press release, as well as our filings with the SEC, including but not limited to our most recent periodic reports on Forms 10-K and 10-Q. These documents describe certain relevant risk factors that could affect our future results. And now I'd like to turn the call over to Steve Tirado.
Thank you, Dave, and good afternoon, everyone. Our financial results for the first quarter represent a solid start down the path of achieving our targeted financial goals for 2008. We're particularly pleased with our gross margin performance for the quarter at 58.6% of revenue. Our focus throughout 2008 will continue to be on delivering financial performance in line with our stated goals. At the same time, we will be bringing new products and technologies to market that will position Silicon Image for growth over the next several years. Let me now summarize Q1 2008 with the following key highlights from the quarter. Number one, we achieved top-line Q1 08 revenue of $67.1 million, above the high end of our revenue guidance of $61 to $63 million. This was largely driven by better-than-expected traction in our major OEM accounts, stronger HDMI adoption on PCs, and better-than-expected performance for select emerging accounts in the Americas and Asia. Number two, overall gross margins came in at 58.6% for Q1, with product margins at 52%. The mix of new products, complemented by product cost reductions, enabled our overall gross margins to be above our long-term target range of 55 to 57. Number three, non-GAAP operating margins came in at 4.7% of revenue, significantly below our long-term target model range of 15 to 20%. However, we are expecting steady improvement throughout the year, especially in the second half of 2008, as we expect relatively stable product and overall margins and increased revenue while we keep operating expenses flat. Number four, our consumer electronics and PC product sales were stronger than anticipated. As was mentioned previously, this was due to better than expected sales into our strategic OEM accounts and select emerging accounts. Storage was down, although we are expecting an improvement from this quarter going into Q2. Overall, product sales were on track for the first half of 08, with product sales expected to be flat going into Q2, given the increased sales levels in Q1, with a seasonal improvement in the second half of the year. Number five, new product introductions for 2008 are substantially on track. These products are targeted at identified mobile device opportunities with major OEMs, the high end of the digital television market, where advanced HDMI and other digital connectivity features are valued, and very importantly, in the area of broadband connectivity, where our advancements in protocols for device discovery, user interface, security, and network streaming are state-of-the-art. This latter set of technologies falls into a new product category for Silicon Image, which we refer to as the Personal Entertainment Network. You'll hear more about this promising new set of technologies later in the year. Digital connectivity features represent a rich area for innovation at Silicon Image, but we've not stopped there. We've also worked hard to integrate analog features with state-of-the-art performance to offer higher levels of integration and better price performance for our customers. We are uniquely focused on raising the bar for intelligent communication between and among devices and have been consistently able to differentiate ourselves in the market with this strategy. Number six, our MHL, or Mobile High Definition Link digital technology, aimed at solving the baseband connectivity between digital televisions, cell phones, personal media players, digital still cameras, and camcorders, continues to receive favorable responses from several major OEMs on the handset and DTV sides of the link. In the case of cell phones, OEMs have a need for a low-power multifunction connector that combines high-quality digital audio visual video. USB, charging, analog, and headset functionality is becoming a key requirement for handset design. By offering both physical and virtual solutions for MHL, in other words, both chip and IP products in the handset markets, and our willingness to drive an industry standard solution, we have achieved a healthy level of interest. At the same time, we are offering a full complement of HDMI solutions in the mobile handset space for markets where a single connector and a multifunction capability is not yet a requirement. Our chipsets for the DTV market are now fully complemented with the ability to process both high-quality HDMI and MHL, or the mobile high-definition link digital technology, in a single piece of silicon, making this highly cost-effective for our major OEM customers and differentiating our solutions in the marketplace. And finally, number seven, we are pleased that our accelerated stock repurchase program is coming to a conclusion, and this should result in approximately a 15% reduction in our outstanding share count. This will help drive an overall improvement in EPS going forward. It is my and the management team's goal to make 2009 a banner year for Silicon Image while we aggressively manage cost and design win traction in 2008. With that, I'll turn the call over to Hal for financial update and forward guidance before we take your questions.
Thanks, Steve. Good afternoon. I'd like to cover three topics: highlights of our financial results for Q1 08, our financial goals for Q2 08, and some directional statements about our financial goals for the full year of 2008. Unless otherwise indicated, gross margin, expense, and earnings-related items are reported on a non-GAAP basis, which excludes stock-based compensation and amortization of intangible assets. In addition, revenue for Q4 07 does not include $6.7 million related to a one-time change in the recognition of distributor revenue that we discussed during our last conference call in February. Revenue for Q1 08 was $67.1 million compared to $78.6 million for Q4 07 and $69.1 million for Q1 07. The decrease in revenue sequentially reflects historical seasonality patterns and, to a lesser degree, the impact of the product transition currently underway that we have discussed during our Analyst Day presentation in November and conference call in February. Product revenue for Q1 08 was $57.2 million, for Q4 07, $68 million, and Q1 07, $56.3 million. License revenue for the quarter was $9.9 million versus $10.7 million in Q4 07 and $12.8 million in Q1 07. Semiconductor sales for CE applications accounted for 74% of our product revenue, while PC applications accounted for 18% and storage 8%. Product revenue for PC applications was higher than Q4 07 as more multimedia notebook computers are being shipped with HDMI functionality. For the quarter, approximately 44% of our CE semiconductor sales were for HDMI version 1.3. Semiconductor average selling prices for the quarter were in line with our internal expectations and historical patterns. Total gross margin for Q1 08 was 58.6% versus 59% for Q4 07 and 56% for Q1 07. Product gross margin for Q1 08 was 52% compared to 53.5% in Q4 07 and 50.7% in Q1 07. Our total gross margin for Q1 08 was favorable when compared to our target range of 55% to 57%, primarily due to revenue volume and favorable mix. Operating expenses for Q1 '08 were $36.2 million compared to $36 million in Q4 '07 and $30.6 million in Q1 '07. Operating expenses for Q1 '08 were higher than our stated target of $34 to $35 million due to litigation expenses. On a year-over-year basis, the quarterly increase in operating expenses is for the most part related to R&D expense. Headcount as of March 31st, 08 was 642, compared to 635 as of December 31st, 07, and 614 as of March 31st, 07. The increase in headcount on a year-over-year basis essentially relates to R&D staff. Operating profit for Q1 08 was $3.1 million, or 4.7% of revenue, versus $10.4 million, or 13.2% for Q4 07, and $8.1 million, or 11.7% for Q1 07. The decrease in operating profit sequentially is due to lower revenue, while the decrease year-over-year reflects higher R&D expense and, to a lesser degree, lower revenue. For Q1 08, other income, which is basically interest income, was $1.9 million compared to $2.8 million for Q4 07 and $3 million for Q1 07. The decrease both sequentially and on a year-over-year basis reflects the use of $62 million of cash in the first half of February 2008 for our stock repurchase program and the lower interest rate environment throughout Q1 08. For Q1 08, our effective tax rate was approximately 30% before discrete items and essentially 0% after such discrete items, compared to our targeted effective tax rate of 42 to 44%. Normally, discrete items do not have much of an impact on our effective tax rate. However, for Q1, with a pre-tax loss that was close to break-even, discrete items did impact our overall tax rate for the quarter. The reason for our lower effective tax rate, i.e. 30% versus 42 to 44%, is a result of shifting a significant part of our investment portfolio from taxable to tax-exempt securities. This change, combined with the meaningful amount of interest income projected for 2008 as a percent of our total projected pre-tax income, resulted in the lower effective tax rate for the quarter. Our current investments portfolio is in compliance with our investment policy guidelines that place principal preservation and liquidity as a top priority. Non-GAAP net income for Q1 08 was $3.4 million, or 4 cents per diluted share. For Q4 07, $9.5 million, or 11 cents per diluted share. And for Q1 07, $6.3 million, or 7 cents per diluted share. Our GAAP net loss for Q1 08 was $0.6 million, or 1 cent per diluted share. For Q4 07, our GAAP net income was $7.6 million, or 9 cents per diluted share, and for Q1 07, $2.9 million, or 3 cents per diluted share. The decrease in non-GAAP and GAAP net income sequentially is primarily due to lower revenue, while the decrease year-over-year reflects higher R&D expense and, to a lesser degree, lower revenue. Stock-based compensation, which is not included in our non-GAAP net income, was $4 million in Q1 08 compared to $4.9 million in Q4 07 and $4 million in Q1 07. Non-GAAP diluted shares outstanding for Q1 08 were 81.6 million, for Q4 07, 85.2 million, and Q1 07, 89.5 million. Moving to the balance sheet, cash and investments as of March 31st, 08 were $194.4 million compared to $249.7 million as of December 31st, 07 and $224 million as of March 31st, 07. The decrease in cash and investments reflects the use of $62 million of cash in the first half of February 2008 for our stock repurchase program. During Q1 08, we generated approximately $7 million in cash, excluding the aforementioned $62 million. Capital expenditures for Q1 08 were $3.5 million compared to $3.3 million for Q4 07 and $5.7 million for Q1 07. Net accounts receivable as of March 31st, 08 were $27 million, which reflects 36 days of sales outstanding. This compares to 22 days of sales outstanding on December 31st, 07 and 43 days of sales outstanding on March 31st, 07. The sequential increase in accounts receivable is a result of day sales outstanding starting to return to our historical and targeted range of 40 to 50 days. Net inventory as of March 31st, 2008 was $14.1 million, which represents approximately 7.7 turns on an annualized basis. This compares to approximately 6.2 turns on December 31st, 2007 and 4.5 turns on March 31st, 2007. Now I would like to discuss the company's common stock repurchase programs. In February 2008, our board of directors authorized a $62 million accelerated stock repurchase program to complete the $100 million stock repurchase program announced in February 2007. In connection with the $62 million accelerated stock repurchase plan, the company has received 11.5 million shares. This plan will be completed no later than June 30, 2008. To date, the company has repurchased 16.5 million shares of our common stock under the $100 million program. The board also authorized a new stock repurchase program for the repurchase of up to an additional $100 million of our common stock over a three-year period, beginning with the conclusion of the aforementioned accelerated stock repurchase plan on the terms and conditions described in our press release issued on February 7, 2008. This completes the summary of our Q1 08 financial results. There is a reconciliation of our GAAP to non-GAAP measures referenced in today's call on our website, siliconimage.com, and one is also included with our press release issued earlier today. Next, I would like to provide some highlights related to our financial goals for Q2 08 and make some directional statements about selected financial goals for the total year of 2008. First, for Q2 08, the company has targeted the following financial goals: revenue 66 to 68 million, gross margin 57 to 58%, GAAP operating expenses 41 million to 42 million, non-GAAP operating expenses 35 to 36 million, interest income 1 million to 1.2 million, effective tax rate approximately 30 to 35%, diluted shares outstanding of approximately 73 million. GAAP expenses for Q2 include approximately $4 million for stock-based compensation and $2 million for amortization of intangible assets. These expenses are not included in our non-GAAP expenses. Now turning to 2008. 2008 is a product transition year for Silicon Image. As part of this transition, we plan to sample and subsequently announce a number of design wins throughout 2008. Volume shipments for the new products related to these design wins are projected to start occurring in the first half of 2009. There is some potential to generate revenue in the second half of 2008 from new products. However, at this point in time, it is too difficult to predict the level of such revenue with any degree of precision or certainty. Based on the situation just described, the following are directional statements related to our overall financial goals for 2008. Revenue is targeted to be in the range of $270 to $290 million. Gross margin as a percent of revenue is anticipated to be in the range of 55 to 57%. GAAP operating expenses are projected to be $165 to $168 million, which includes stock-based compensation of approximately $19 million and $6 million for the amortization of intangible assets. These expenses are not included in non-GAAP expenses. Non-GAAP expenses are projected to be in the range of $142 to $144 million. This is approximately $4 million higher than our initial projection provided in February due to higher litigation and R&D expenses. An effective tax rate of approximately 30 to 35%, as previously discussed, the change in our projected effective tax rate is a result of shifting the majority of our investments portfolio from taxable to tax-exempt securities. And finally, diluted shares outstanding of approximately 72 million in the second half of 2008. By achieving this goal, we have reduced our outstanding shares by approximately 15% when compared to the 85 million shares outstanding as of 12/31/07. We will continue to update you during our quarterly investor conference calls on our progress as we work with customers to roll out new products. While our major focus is on successfully addressing our product transition in 2008 and entering 2009 with revenue generation momentum, we will continue to strive to achieve our gross margin goals, tightly control expenses in line with our operating plan and the economic environment, and drive cash flow from operations throughout 2008. This concludes my remarks. Operator, we will now take questions.
Thanks very much. If anybody has any questions at this time, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. Make sure that your mute button is not engaged. And if you could, pick up your handset if you're on a speakerphone. Again, star 1 for questions. First up is James Schneider at Goldman Sachs. And Mr. Schneider, your line's open if you have a question. Hearing no response, we will move on to Taib Shah at Longbow.
Hi, guys. Steve, what changed that led to better traction in your major OEM account? And was it for 1.3 products or was it for older generation products?
What I would say is for some of the major OEMs, they're doing better than we thought they would, and they're probably even better than they thought they would, and it's almost all 1.3 based.
Okay. And this trend that you saw, did this develop late in the quarter, or was this apparent fairly early on, right after the last call, that revenues were tracking better than expected?
No, I think in general we've seen the strength throughout the quarter.
Okay. So it sounds like this was overall demand strength within the market and in your accounts. It wasn't so much market share gain on your part, right?
Yeah, I would characterize it that way, yes.
Okay. And then I want to understand the second quarter revenue guidance. It's flat Q over Q when traditionally it's been up. And this year you also have Beijing Olympics, so just trying to understand why it's flat sequentially.
Yeah, so I think the way we looked at the revenue guidance for Q2 is that in our planning process, the first half of the year we thought was essentially going to be pretty close to the same quarter over quarter. Now, we were a little bit stronger in Q1, and we're being cautious about Q2 and not getting ahead of ourselves. The real goal for us is as we focus on Q3, and we do expect a sequential increase in Q3 as we have historically seen, as well as getting traction from some new products that we're going to have. And in addition to that, we are seeing strength in our PC and storage lines right now, and we expect that to continue. So our real goal is to achieve our internal plans, which are in line with our guidance for the first half of the year, and then really get the bump up in effect that we're looking for in the back half of the year.
Yeah, Taib, and I think if you look at your own model and you look at the first half revenue, I think that we're on track.
Yeah. And finally, Hal, when do you start to get some clarity into the revenue potential for mobile handset opportunity, what it can be in calendar 09? At what point do your customers start to finalize designs that will go into production next year?
We actually already have one design win that's going to come out this year. In Asia, I'm really excited. I can't give any details on it, unfortunately, but it's a very exciting phone application that's going to get rolled out in Asia. So we're already beginning to get design win traction for our mobile chipsets. Not just this particular design win was a cell phone one, but we have others in the personal media player market, and of course camera and camcorders. We continue to do pretty well in those particular markets, but we're not going to be able to tell you about 2009 till towards the end of the year. I mean, it's just, there's no way I could give you any sense of that until we're coming out of Q3 going into Q4.
Okay, thanks. I just wanted to understand the timing. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And we'll move back now to James Schneider at Goldman.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we
sure can.
Thank you. This is Apurva Patel on behalf of James Schneider. Thanks for taking my call. Can you talk about the order linearity in 1Q and what do you expect for 2Q?
Again, I think the linearity in Q1 and we expect the same thing in Q2 is actually pretty good throughout the quarter. One of the reasons our DSO is down right now is because we're getting our billings out in a fairly orderly fashion throughout the quarter. So based on everything we know right now, that will continue.
Okay. What is the inventory in the inventory level in the channel, and has it increased? If yes, can you give us any color on which particular products or components?
Yeah, I would say right now that, in particular over the last few quarters, that we haven't seen much change in our channel inventory. It's generally in line with our overall guidelines, and one of the things that we are trying to do from just an asset management standpoint is to watch our internal inventories as well as our channel inventories to make sure that we have the right balance between both of them. But again, no real changes over the last few quarters.
Okay. One more question. How much revenue do you expect for input process in 2008?
We really haven't disclosed that number, and at this point, we're not ready to do that.
That's fair. That's all for me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up from Deutsche Bank, this is Suki Nagesh.
Yeah, hi guys. Did you talk about the number of units that you sold in the quarter, broken down by your different segments?
We did not, but we will get that for you shortly. Go ahead and...
Okay, and then, just in terms of your guidance for the next quarter, what segments do you expect to be up or down in the quarter?
The quarter is going to look actually very similar Q2 to Q1, but where we're seeing particular strength has been actually in the PC market and the storage market. The other place that's been showing some strength is what we call home theater, which tends to be a lot of these AV receivers, set-top box, DVD players. And there's been, a shift over to Blu-ray, and we had a lot of design wins there. And even though the HD DVD sales went away, Blu-ray is picking up, and there's been a little strength there.
The design wins were, Steve, in set-top boxes and Blu-ray, or?
No. The Blu-ray wins are on the DVD side.
DVD side, okay.
Yeah.
Is standalone DVDs or PC-related DVDs?
These are typically standalone.
All right. Okay. And then, you've talked in the past about how you were... expecting your license revenues, at least in this year, to be greater or greater than 2007 levels? Is that something we should...
Well, what we said was we're moving from a 10 to 15% to a 15 to 20% average. We still expect we'll be in that range for the year.
Yeah, I think, again, in the past we've indicated that we think we'll be right around 15%. And back on the breakout by segment, we did actually have this in the script. Our CE was about 74%, PC was 18%, and storage was 8%.
But that's on a revenue basis, right?
Yeah, it's on a revenue basis.
Right.
PC was actually up a little bit quarter over quarter. And then if you look into more detail, which we'll have posted a little later today, you'll see that there wasn't much difference between CE and PC and so forth in the breakdown between those quarter over quarter, other than PC.
Just wondering, your guys' gross margin has done so well. I was wondering if year over year, by the end of this year, you're going to see an increase in license revenue relative to last year, which is going to help your gross margin?
Again, I think in the first half of the year, we're anticipating the favorable gross margin to our overall guidance, primarily because of mix. Now, as we get into the back half of the year and we start shipping in a higher volume level and so forth, we expect to get back into the targeted range that we have. So mix has really driven it so far.
Yeah, on the licensing front, we're not expecting, we're kind of be at the low end of that range, as Hal was saying, about 15% of revenue should come out of licensing.
Okay. Then one last question on the OpEx front. You said in the past that, you would accelerate investments in the consumer space. Given the current U.S. slowdown, especially in consumers, do you see any reason to maybe pull back on the OPEX front, on the CE investments at least?
Well, I think, again, our goal for this year is really all about 2009, as we've talked about the product transition. So we're heavily invested right now in R&D, and we haven't seen a slowdown with our customers at this point. And hopefully we won't. But we set our game plan for OPEX for the year, and unless there's some reason for that to dramatically change, we're going to stick with the plan.
The other thing is that we have talked about the fact that it's a very strong focus on product execution this year for next year, and we are rolling out. We've already rolled out two major initiatives in the marketplace, one being the MHL, and the other one that's coming is we are expecting the announcement of a new version of HDMI this year. So those are two big events, and there's a couple other things that are going to happen that you'll hear more about as we get into the year.
Just a couple of other quick points. In the back half of the year, if our revenue ticks up like we believe it's going to, then our operating profit as a percent of revenue is going to start pushing back towards our overall model. Now, we won't get there for the year of 2008, but I think as we head into 2009, we should start pushing back into our 15 to 20% goal that we've established.
Okay, so Steve, I guess you guys are on track to introduce the 8 to 10 products this year that you were mentioning?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's going well.
All right, thank you.
We'll move on now to Heidi Poon at Thomas Weisel Partners.
Hi, guys. Thanks. I just want to ask a little bit more about the PC growth that you've seen. Given that a lot of the unit growth in the notebook market is going to be driven by a low-cost segment, the HDMI adoption or the growth in multimedia PC you're seeing, is that 1.3, or can you tell us a little more about the growth you're seeing there?
You know, a lot of it is not 1.3, it's 1.2. We have chips for 1.3 and 1.2. The mix is a little bit more favored toward the older version. But a lot of the notebook vendors are positioning their notebooks as, you know, entertainment and multimedia devices. And so since, you know, HDMI is so prevalent on all the TVs, you got to have it. So in previous years, actually quarters, we thought it was going to take off. But finally this year, it's really starting to gain a lot of traction. People like the TV connectivity.
I see. So in terms of pricing here, you know, is there any difference between the chipsets you're selling to the notebook market at 1.2, or is it pretty much similar to the market price at this point?
Well, are you looking for a distinction between 1.3 and 1.2 parts?
Yeah, in terms of your pricing to the PC market versus the consumer electronics market, given what we've seen.
It's comparable pricing. Mm-hmm. It's comparable pricing, CE and PC.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Also, just a little bit more on the mobile connectivity area. Given some of the emerging, you know, wireless HDMI solutions out there, it seems like there's also, you know, some OEM backing for those alternative solutions. Could you give me a sense of, you know, when you discuss with your customers, you know, what's the sense of, you know, the push in that direction, or, you know, is everybody just hedging their bets?
Well, a lot of the wireless solutions, if you go look at the pricing on them, they're anywhere from $800 to $1,000 for a couple of radio boxes that, you know, sit at maybe in two ends of a room. So they're very expensive. And every one of these vendors has a different method, so there's no consistency, which I think makes it really hard for the industry. Our view is that it will go wireless eventually, but it's probably going to require a solution that allows you to go to just very cheap commodity wireless like 802.11n or G or something like that. The reason we're focused on the mobile high-def link is they are interested in a baseband connection, which they know will always be the same, i.e., you know, once you do it, it's the same forever. And so what we're finding is they're very interested in that. It's a low-cost way to get immediate connectivity. And the handset folks have told us they will never put exotic radios in their phones. They're just not going to do it. So now I'm focusing a little bit more on the cell phone market, but I would say that that's probably likewise true for the still camera and the camcorder. Everybody's looking for a much lower cost way to implement connectivity. And I believe the wireless capability is most exciting for mobile devices that are occasionally connected. For devices that are, you know, always sitting in the living room, there's no reason why not to run a cable to them rather than use the wireless. There's not a whole lot of value in that. I think where we're really going to see traction for wireless is when the mobile device world gets up, and that's going to have to be much cheaper than what we're seeing in the market today. So in the short term, baseband wired connections will be very popular, and we're going to drive that trend with our technology.
And in terms of, you know, when you mentioned standards driving activity, are you kind of trying to drive some sort of a, you know, standards or licensing group that you've done in the C space for the mobile connectivity? I just want to...
Yeah, exactly right. So the mobile high-definition link, we've made it very clear. We're very open to promoting the use of that technology and defining a standard that works for the handset side of the market. And what's unique about it is they really want a highly multifunctional connector with a very low pin count, very low power. So they want to do things like charging and USB and you know, a high-performance digital AV, as well as, you know, being able to handle your headsets and your analog. Part of what's happening in the North American market in particular is the carriers are really pushing for standardization because it's just too expensive to support all the various different chargers and headsets and all that sort of stuff. So we think this is very timely. The OEMs are telling us it's very timely, and so we're going to work very closely with them to drive the use of this new kind of digital connection standard for the handset market.
Great. Thanks.
The question now from Mahesh Sanganeria at RBC Capital Markets.
Hi, this is Sandeep Shamsukar calling in for Mahesh. One question I had on the mobile high-def link was that do you see some competition from high-speed USB for this application? I mean, because that's already a standard versus this is something that's still on the verge of getting standardized?
You know, certainly it's a possible, you know, technology. We're not seeing USB be very popular on the TV sets because it requires, you know, software stack support, version control, et cetera. So I'm not sure that, that's the way, you know, it will go. I think what we're proposing is more reasonable. What we've done for the market is integrate the MHL technology in with our HDMI technology so we can offer the TV guys an integrated solution that's, you know, basically extremely cost effective and gives them both kinds of connectivity. You know, we just think it makes more sense to go that direction.
Sounds good. And regarding your gross margins, obviously compared to the June quarter 07, I mean, things are significantly better. And you mentioned that product mix is one of the reasons for that. Is that, I mean, is that true that the PC sector, the gross margins are better than the gross margins in the CE sector?
Yeah, in general, I think the mix with a higher PC element is helping us.
Okay. And so do you expect the gross margins to go down in the second half because your for the year target, your gross margin numbers are lower than what you are guiding for Q2?
Yeah, as our revenue picks up in the back half of the year based on our plan, we do think that the gross margins will go back into the target range of 55 to 57%. Now, if PCs stay at the level that they're currently at, then we'll probably be at the higher end of that range, but we do expect to get back in the range.
And I think you already you already addressed it to some extent, but I was still wondering why your revenue guidance for Q2 is flat, like going forward. I mean, typically things should be seasonally stronger. And, I mean, especially with the PC sector, you said PC segment and the storage being up, can you address why you think it would be flat quarter over quarter?
Yeah, again, I think the way we looked at the plan was first half of the year, second half of the year, and we got a little bit ahead of ourselves in Q1, and at this point, we don't see a reason for changing our overall guidance for Q2. In other words, keeping the first half of the year intact with our overall plan. And then as we get into the second half of the year, as I mentioned earlier on, we do see an uptick from a seasonality standpoint, in particular in Q3. And we also expect to have some new product revenue in the back half of the year. And we believe that we'll continue to see strength in both PC and storage. And that's the reason why we believe that we can get an uptick in the back half of the year and get in line with our overall guidance for the year.
Right. So you may be being conservative for the Q2 guidance.
Well, the way I would characterize it is that we had a stronger Q1 than we had anticipated. We're holding pretty close to the internal plan for Q2, and we'll see what happens.
Again, a quick reminder, if you have any questions, it's star one. We have a follow-up now from Taib Shah at Longbow.
Hi, guys. Sony and Samsung have been aggressively cutting prices, and you would think that this should lead to a tendency on their part to use cheaper chip solutions and maybe integrated HDMI solutions rather than your discrete solution. So I just wanted to ask, how well do you think you are participating in the low-end segment of the market, especially the sub-$1,000 TV models?
You know, we're mainly in the mid-range and high-end of the marketplace on the television side. But remember, we service other markets. We're also on the source side, and that's actually a fairly sizable business for us, what we do in the AV receive, you know, DVD set-top box side. So there's some strength there, and we tend to do a little bit better on the margins in that market.
Okay. And can you just tell us what percentage of PC revenues is now coming from HDMI and how much is SATA?
I think we said overall 18% of our revenue was from PC. That's overall from a product standpoint. I'm not sure the breakout between the different categories of PC revenue. And I think 8% was for
storage.
Storage.
Taib, there was a sizable HDMI component to our PC chip sales.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to get dominated by those chipsets going into the latter half of the year. In other words, DVI as a technology is no longer being, you know, other than some old platforms, it's really not a seller for us anymore.
Okay. And of the storage, I mean, can you give us an idea of how much is now consumer storage? Is that meaningful now?
When you say consumer, you mean not, like the CE market?
Exactly.
No, the vast majority of this is in the PC market. Now, for media storage, though, but the vast majority is in the PC market. We're getting a lot of traction on the PC, not only on reference design, but we're going into production, both in desktops and notebooks, with Steelvine chips.
And finally, mobile processor IP that you just announced, is that in any way tied to your HDMI roadmap for mobile devices?
I missed the first thing you said, Taib.
The 12-megapixel mobile processor IP that you just announced?
Yes.
Is that in any way tied to your HDMI roadmap for mobile devices?
No, it's a separate technology we had developed. We actually got through the acquisition of Cywork. One of the things we are doing, though, in servicing the mobile accounts, though, we're talking about what we can do both from the connectivity and the camera side of the equation. It is helping us get closer to those kinds of customers.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And now we have a question from Adam Benjamin at Jefferies.
That's for Scary Center and for Adam. I know you're going to put it on your website in a little bit. Can you break out the license revenue by product line?
Yeah, I don't have that right in front of me. It'll be on the website shortly.
Okay. And then input processors, in the past you've kind of given us a ballpark of how many you'd shipped so far. Can you give us any data on that for Q1?
Yeah, we'll give you an update on that on the next call for the first half of the year.
Okay. And then for the licensing revenue, you were saying between 15% and 20%, was that for Q2?
No, what we said was that for the full year of 2008, we think it will be around 15% for the year as it was in 2007. Now, Steve indicated our goal in a longer term is to push it to a higher level, but we're still pretty much consistent with the 15%.
Okay, so it should sort of mirror what was in 07.
Exactly, yeah. And the breakout from a product standpoint, I don't remember it exactly, but it was fairly close to our past quarter.
Okay.
Yeah, 07 was where the mix improved for licensing. We were down below that, around 10 to 15, and now it's moved up. And our intention is to really, we've got some new things coming out that we hope will drive that percentage even higher.
Okay. And then for Q2, can you give any color on your visibility into the quarter? I mean, is backlog similar to what you've had in past quarters? Book to bill, just trying to get an idea of how far out.
We have excellent visibility. We feel very good about the number.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay.
You know, again, I think as I indicated earlier on in the call that if you look at our accounts receivable, one of the reasons our DSO is down is because we are pretty linear right at the moment. So following up on Steve's point, we have fairly good visibility heading into our Q2.
Okay. Great.
With that, gentlemen, there are no other questions holding in the roster.
Thank you, operator. This concludes our call. Thank you very much for joining us today, and have a great day.